been a primary author of two of the largest tax cuts in the history of our state.
Let the eagle soar.
Son, go outside and dust yourself off. And when you feel good again, come back in and talk to me. We know what they would have done because we know what they did.
K-Row. I've been there. K-Row.
We are going to fight for Missouri values. We are going to defend life. And we are going to protect our constitutional rights.
What I am trying to do to simply make tomorrow just a little bit better than today.
We're back for another episode of the Hashtag Middle-Edged Podcast. This is Rachel Herndon-Dunn, editor of the Missouri Times, with my great co-host, Becky Lohman of the Catalyst Group, and Missouri Times' own Ben Peter, shooting me looks and pushing buttons. First off, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Republic Services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce. They make this 100% possible. Our guest today is Representative Travis Fitzwater, leader of the Fitz 49ers, who represents Fulton and Holt Summit. Thank you for joining us.
Glad to be here.
Now, this is your second extraordinary session that we're currently in the middle of. This is the first summer that you've had to be called back to the Capitol to do more work.
Sure.
What's going through your head about this?
Well, for me, I think it's a little bit easier because I go home at night. You know, I see the Capitol from my house. I work a couple blocks from the Capitol. So for me to get over here, it's a little easier.
And I think you get to see all your friends then,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I get to see all my friends. It's terrific. I think on this particular issue, I think this is a valuable discussion to have in a special session. Fortunately, my desire would have been we did this in regular session. The House passed many of these bills that we put into this bill anyway. The Senate, in my opinion, to some extent dropped the ball on that piece. But much preferred to have done this in regular session. But I think it's important enough where we go into a special session to protect life. That's my personal opinion. I think there's a number of my colleagues that agree with me on that.
Now, that's something that a lot of people aren't talking about, that the House did pass a lot of these bills. Even though this is a 4 or 5 month old issue, the House did try to do this.
Yeah, and even last year, there's some provisions from some discussions, as far as abortion clinics and inspections and things of that nature that we've talked about every year. I've been here for 3 years. We've had discussions on these pro-life issues.
Now, silly question maybe, but to our listeners who do not work in this building, what is this special session called for? What is in the bill? Why is it necessary?
Yeah, there's a number of provisions in there. The one main provision was, St. Louis passed an ordinance that expands the opportunities for people to get abortions. And so we wanted to make sure that no city was what the governor calls and many people are calling an abortion sanctuary city. We wanted to ensure that we were not expanding abortion rights across the state. And so that was the biggest piece of it. That was the particular piece that I think was egregious enough where you can say a special session is especially needed.
I think it's interesting. The special sessions I've heard of, like Boeing was like maybe 1-2 day deal, right? That special session. And this one's now on to the third week. The Senate is allegedly going to come back next Thursday at 9 a.m.
Yeah, that date seems to change a little bit here and there. But I think also, too, it's important for everybody to know that we're not in session every day. So we're not in session today. The House isn't. We took one day as a House, the full House. So the per diems and all the cost of that only happen on that one day in those committee days where we have technical sessions. Mm-hmm. So it's not, there's a lot of talk about $22,000 a day. That's $22,000 a day if every single legislator is in town.
Right.
So really what's happening is we're going about this very, in my opinion, very intelligently. The speaker has done a great job ensuring that we're only in when we need to be in. And so when everybody says $22,000 a day, what they mean is if that's the whole body of the legislature is convening during that day. But what you're going to see is it's not going to be $22,000 a day because we're not in session every day. The taxpayer only pays for us to be in when we're actually in session, official session.
Now, just going back to the nitty-gritty, and just to get to know you, I'm curious, why did you run for office and why did you want to serve the people in Missouri?
Yeah, well, I got involved in local politics when my wife and I decided to move into Callaway County. We just got involved in some campaigns. I really enjoyed it, going door-to-door. I made some websites. I helped with Jeannie Riddle, who's become a political mentor of mine, Senator Riddle. And I didn't really tell anybody I had any interest in this. I really thought it was kind of a long-term thing. I was going to be a local professional and get involved in the community and do some things that, start a family, raise a family. and then maybe later on there would be a political future. But Jeannie called me out of the blue, Senator Riddle, when she decided to run for the Senate and asked me to consider running for her House seat. And that was something that just kind of blew my wife and I both away and kind of moved up the timeline for the desire to run for an office. I mean, I think the desire to have the largest impact on our state was really at the heart of it. When I got started, my desire when I came in was to, and Eric and I talk about this often, but our desire is to have the largest impact we can on the state and the direction of the state, where we're going, what type of environment we're creating for my kids, my family. And so those were the main pieces.
So your father is also in elected office, correct?
I've got a lot of family.
So did they follow your lead, or did you follow their lead?
Yeah, so my dad...
So are you mentoring your dad
council.
In his
no,
political career,
no.
or is it the other way around?
The other way around. You know, I've lived in my dad's shadow for a really long time. So, you know, I was glad to finally get out of that a little bit, and then he ran for office, and now I'm living in that shadow again. But he's a city councilman here in Jeff City, which is kind of neat. And then my father-in-law, he's a state representative from North Missouri, and I helped run his campaign in 2000. It was either 2010 or 2012. 2010, when he lost in a primary to Randy Asbury. And Randy Asbury became the state representative. Decided after 2 years he didn't want to run for re-election, and then Tim ran again and won in 2014, which was kind of neat, and may have something to do with me not running his campaign that year.
So your family, the Fitzwater family, Thanksgiving dinner is just all inside baseball.
There's a lot
politics.
Of politics.
Everybody.
Yeah, I mean,
I've
always
heard a few times that you and Representative Brimley should not be seated together.
Yeah, well, you know what? The other Fitzwater seated next to my father-in-law, and that's probably just as egregious as if I was sitting next to him.
No, honestly, could Representative Brimley be seated by anyone and not cause any problems?
There's a guy that loves life. He's always, I don't think you could sit anybody next to him and he would enjoy it. He's just a guy that kind of just enjoys life to the extreme and always has a good time. But he also is very, very intent on doing the right thing. Just a really, really great heart. I'm very thankful for my father-in-law. You know, a lot of friends.
If he's listening.
Yeah, if you're listening out there. But a lot of my friends have in-laws that maybe they don't get along great with, and I'm just more than thankful that I have in-laws that mean the world to me and that I'm close with, and it's a huge blessing.
Now, I'm curious. Whenever you ran for office the first time for state rep, you ran against the former state rep from the area, Gracia Becker.
Yeah.
What were three priorities you hope to accomplish in the state legislature that would differentiate you from the honorary Ms. Becker?
Yeah, I think pro-life issues were an area where her and I differed extremely in significant ways. That was one thing I always campaigned on. The pro-life issues were a big deal. Secondly, the economy. I think we had a different idea what the economy, which direction you want to go with the economy. And so we disagreed in significant ways there also. I really think deregulation and kind of getting the government out of the way as best as possible and trying to pass some legislation that would open up the doors for opportunity in our state, specifically having a somewhat of a role with the Uber Lyft legislation where, you know, you have a young generation like me and some folks in our generation where they really, these technologies are disrupting our economy, and they're significant, you know, they're very significant. And so being able to be a part of expanding that statewide was huge, and was glad to be a part of that. And so there was that, and I think the way that you manage an economy, there were significant differences. You know, I don't think the state ought to be managing the economy. I think just kind of get out of the way, let the free market work. I think it's important. It's one thing that's really frustrating about this healthcare conversation we're having nationwide is that the government is getting way too involved in healthcare. You know, maybe let patients decide on the prices of what they're going to pay, what they're willing to pay, expand HSAs, do some things where you're ensuring that the patient is involved in the decision making, as opposed to saying, well, we're just going to do it for you. Here are your options. And then anytime the government subsidizes something, it always makes the price increase. So if you're subsidizing premiums, there's no incentive for an insurance company to reduce the cost or reduce the premium cost every month because they know they're getting a certain chunk from the government. So it's really, you know, these free market principles, there's a significant difference between my philosophy and my former opponent's philosophy on how do you really create a free market in our country and our state.
So I want to circle back on something you said, because I think you are kind of viewed in in your caucus and in the General Assembly as a representative who gets innovation, who gets tech, who kind of sees this opportunity for Missouri to lead. And do you, how do you think that frames differently than some of your older colleagues that might not have that perspective or that deep understanding of issues that the younger, a next-gen conservative has?
Well, I think that these technologies are so disruptive that everybody's kind of getting a taste of it and they want to expand it.
And it comes very quickly.
And it comes very quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's so disruptive that it happens so quickly that you're like, it makes you nervous, you know, because you want to control it a little bit. and to some extent we should, where safety is a concern, where mm-hmm. the health and well-being of our state is concerned. But in my mind, like, there's real opportunity for us to be an innovative state. There's real, and so my colleagues have been great to think through this stuff, but when you have the amount of influence in the capital that there is with lobbyists on every side of every issue, and there's always these conversations, it's a lot easier to scare people and to kill a bill than it is to really talk about the good and bad points of a bill and let it move forward. So it's a lot easier to stop things like the idea of making us an environment where self-driving cars can thrive in our state, or at least be researched, and we become maybe probably not the mecca that California is for that type of technology, but at least open it up a little bit where research can be done in our state. You know, we have this huge highway system. There's an opportunity, as long as we can prove safety, that maybe there ought to be some self-driving trucks going across 70. You know, or, you know, there's all kinds of different ideas. And you do this in small pilot projects. You don't just say, let's open up 70, but you say, hey, there's a 20-mile stretch and on I-44 that isn't trafficked a ton. Let's maybe open that up to some opportunities for companies to come test their technology.
Well, and with that stuff, I think you made a great point. This stuff is coming, artificial. All of these things are coming, and so we can either fight it and be last, or we can embrace it and try to be the leaders in it. And I think that's something that you've done within your caucus.
Yeah, I hope so. And there's a long way to go. And this stuff is frightening. You know, thinking of a driverless car next to you, it's a frightening idea.
Not as frightening as me driving next to you. I promise you that.
I think as disruptive as it is, that stuff, you start to, your mindset changes very quickly as people realize, okay, well, the statistics show that these self-driving cars are probably going to be a lot safer than the you know, when you add in human error and all those things. Mm-hmm. There's always going to be dangers. But I think, and that's not just the only technology issue. You know, there's energy issues mm-hmm. that are happening. Energy is changing significantly. What's happening in solar energy, what's happening in nuclear energy, all these areas, there's some incredible innovation happening in those areas. Nuclear energy is obviously a big deal to me. I hope it's expanded. My district has a significant investment in that. And so, you know, I think there are all these opportunities for us to really be an innovative state and do some really neat things. And I think, again, the government in some way has to kind of get out of the way and try to incentivize these things.
I always think the self-driving semi-trucks is hilarious, because not too far away from I-70, there's a train track, and those are pretty similar to me, and I think that's funny. But something I wanted to talk about was, we talk about disruptors a lot, and that has such a negative connotation, but my favorite new term that's emerged lately is industry disruptor, because there are so many new technology companies that there is not a statutory framework for their existence. There's no regulation there when maybe there should be, and it can really open up markets, kind of like how you were talking about. And that's something I've really enjoyed watching in Missouri, because there is such a conservative majority, seeing them address new technology. I think that's very cool. Which leads into some of the questions Becky and I chose. We have five questions.
Five questions for you. Okay. First question, what is your favorite form of social media?
Oh, Twitter, easily.
Yeah, you have like six. Are those like all legit followers you have on Twitter?
Well, like, people ask me that all the time.
Because you have, like, yeah. How many? You have like 16,000?
It's like 95% are real accounts. Okay. I've tested myself, because I'm like, you know, I built this up over years.
You have
I got
all
a
these
Twitter.
Bots following you,
yeah,
on Twitter.
I don't. It's not true. But I got involved in social media very early on. I had a business that I don't do much with anymore, but it was social media consulting. I consulted with a number of folks and companies and campaigns before I got into my own campaign stuff, and it was revolving around social media, and so I followed it very closely early on and got a deep education in social media and social media marketing. So it's always been very fascinating to me, and so Twitter is kind of this place that's revolutionized information. You know, like, you choose which news you're going to follow, so you get your news in a different way than like going to a website. You know, so I don't go to Drudge or Fox News or CNN or some of these other avenues as much as I just go to Twitter, because I know I'm going to get I'm going to get, in real time, information that I'm really, really interested in finding.
And the way you can connect with your constituents, I think, is fascinating.
And I think a very close second would be Instagram. I think it's pretty neat as far as recording what you're doing, your campaign, the search ability, the ability to connect with people, constituents
younger
in particular
bros.
that are posting about things that are happening in the community. It's great to keep up. And then also it's just a neat tool to kind of express what's going on in a campaign or in your family life or whatever.
Speaking of expressing, what is your favorite emoji?
We're staying on a trend here.
Oh man, I use the thumbs up emoji like all the time. It's like the one that I send all the time. So that's probably the
I feel like that says a lot about a person, is what their most commonly used emoji is.
And I assume Donald Trump's is the thumbs up, too. He always have the thumbs up.
You and the president have that in common.
Yeah, well, the guy that runs my office, Eric, who's sitting here right now, but we're not going to let him talk.
Staffer,
he doesn't use emojis. He just does, like, GIFs. So he's sending me GIFs all the time.
Okay,
so
you say GIF?
Oh, yeah, I believe
it's GIF.
That's unfortunate.
I think you say it wrong, representative.
I actually researched, if you Google this, how does the proper pronunciation
is
GIF.
Wrong.
The founder of GIF is not wrong. He's correct.
Yeah. When I think GIF, I think peanut butter.
Well, that's fine.
Huh. Well, could we just have a conversation about how Eric is right, emojis are wrong, GIFs or GIFs, whatever you want to call them, are the correct way to go?
GIFs are fantastic.
I mean,
debatable.
There's a GIF for everything, I feel like.
Woo! Yep.
Well, who would play you in a movie about your life in GIFs?
Oh my gosh.
Next question.
That is the next question.
Oh, sorry. I read a text and I was not paying attention. Go ahead.
That's a tough one. There's that guy. I don't even know his character. I hope it would be this guy and not somebody else crazy. But the guy from Grey's Anatomy, the redheaded doctor. When I had hair, maybe looked somewhat. I don't even know his name.
I haven't watched Grey's Anatomy since like 2000.
Well, maybe somebody out there knows that, but my wife is obsessed with Grey's Anatomy, and so
you decided that you look like a character from Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
That's brilliant. That is actually brilliant.
I think that guy. Yeah,
no, we got a picture.
What's his name?
Who we got?
I didn't even know his name.
Okay.
Dude, right? Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
right on.
He's got a much smaller head. I've got a massive head, but I hope like that's who would portray me.
I'm into it.
Kevin McKidd. He was in HBO's Rome series.
Kevin McKidd.
Oh, Rome is a fantastic show.
Really good show.
Anything involving gladiators is right up my alley, which brings us to our next question.
Segues are really
good. I do
really
love gladiators, but that's really good. That's a great movie.
What would be your walkout song if you were a professional wrestler?
My walkout song. Remember the name, probably.
Okay.
So it kind of gets me pumped up.
Gets you pumped up?
Is that what you do before you like our presenting committee?
Typically, yes. Actually,
Eric is dying. Eric's laughing.
Every time I come into the office, Eric's like, this is a dumpster fire.
And then you like do a shadow boxing
but
in
he,
office.
He will turn it on. I force him to turn on that. It's like my walk in music to the office. No, it's not true.
So you're saying Eric doesn't follow you to the committee with like a boombox?
Oh my god. That's amazing.
No, it's that song. It's like it just kind of pumps me up. It's kind of a good song.
Speaks to you.
Good to know.
It speaks to me. Yeah.
Good to know.
Eric never wants to work for me again.
Well,
awkward.
What is
very awkward.
Other than walking around with Eric playing music behind you, what is one thing you would be doing if you did not have special session?
Well, my wife is a week away from having our third daughter. So I would partly be at home helping my wife. I mean, as you're aware, Rachel, because you just had a daughter, but you get into like that last trimester and it's really, really tough for most women, not always. It's not true across the board.
Yeah.
But my wife is a saint. She's terrific. She's handling it very well, but this is going to be Fitzwater babies or large babies. And she's done a great job handling it, you know, but you know, I'm helping a lot would be what I'd be doing if I wasn't in the building.
Bonus question.
I also have another job beyond this. Bonus answer, I can't answer. Yeah, it's not 100% official, so we don't want to make it public.
And we don't know if it's a girl or a boy, right?
It's a girl.
It's a girl.
Well, I look forward to talking to you in 5 months when she who must not be named reaches the point that Harper is currently at, because she likes to grab Brandon's beard and scream in our faces, and it's great.
That's fun.
She also likes Fort Minor. And really likes both of them.
I like her already. I like her already.
Yeah. She's pretty cool.
The Fitzwater Dunn kid will be, they'll be besties.
That'd be great. We'd love that.
We'll have like a playroom in the Capitol.
My daughters my daughters love being in here. It's like the greatest place to bring your kids because they don't know how to get out, you know? They can get lost, but they can't get out.
Yeah.
So.
It's probably a pretty safe place to let them like run around. Like generally speaking, everybody here is like going to protect children and take care of
them. And my father-in-law is literally, my kids are obsessed with my father-in-law.
Right.
He's like two doors down. So they like run from my office to his office and they're just climbing all over him. You know, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
They're young, by the way, so they're like it's normal for a kid that age to be climbing all over him.
Well, on that note, thank you again to our public services and the St. Louis Regional Chamber of Commerce for making this show possible. Thank you, of course, to Representative Travis Fitzwater for your hospitality and joining us. And thank you for listening. Be sure to catch all the updates that you need on state politics this summer at themissouritimes.com. Bye.